Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, the combine is here, and there's TV, and there's stuff going on, and everybody sees the tangible results. But there's also like a sub-combine that you were talking about, people just talking and exchanging ideas from different teams.
Yeah.
I assume that started already, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, as you come here, you've obviously looked through free agency. There's reports on guys that have – inflated cap numbers and things like that. So you're always looking for ways to improve your roster. And so, yes, some of those conversations I had I've had three calls last week. Hey, just to get you ahead of the curve, we may move on from, you know, these guys on these teams, and asking me, did I have any guys that they should look at or any positions? And so that way when we run into them here, hey, what did you think about this player? Would there be any interest in a swap or a swap for picks? And that will pick up even more once we get it into the workouts, because what happens is you're all in the dome, you're all in these suites, and this group will run, and then there's, you know, 20, 30 minutes of dead time. And so you walk down the hall, you see your buddy from this team, that team, and sometimes conversations you didn't even know were going to happen where you're talking about your roster, and, well, you know what, we're heavy this position if that's what you think you need. And so who knows if anything will come to fruition, but we're always looking to improve our roster, and if there's a chance to do that, we'll try and make that move.
Yeah, and it's this draft, and it always happens that something kind of overriding comes through. This year it's Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. and his size and his physical measurements, and is he going to throw, is he going to run? And you've said, and it's obvious, and we've talked about it a couple of times, you're not in that horse race anymore.
Yeah.
And you've already got your guy, and it's nice to sit there and watch the, you know, you can kind of relate to it on one hand, but yep. on the other hand, it's like, man, I am so glad I'm not in that fight.
No, I found myself when the quarterbacks were walking across the stage after they're getting weighed and measured and all that stuff, watching who's really focused on every little thing. Because I'm going, a year ago we were here scrutinizing every little thing, every measurement. Okay, that's his hand size. Okay, he measures out at this. What's he weigh? And just what's his body look like? And obviously we're still looking at these guys and writing our own notes, but it's funny, the teams that you kind of know are in that market, obviously everybody knew, it was no secret what market we were in a year ago.
Sure.
I'm glad we're where we're at, and we know we got a lot of work to do, though.
You might hear from some of those quarterback needy teams, right, with the ninth pick in the first round.
We could. It'll be interesting. You know, it's everybody's playing poker right now with what they're going to do, and we were doing the same last year. I think as the process goes, you know, there may be some names that people have as the fourth or fifth quarterback, but in a couple months, those things can flip three or four times. And so I think it will be interesting to see how it plays out and how many guys – do go in the top 10. It's a quarterback league. If you think that guy fits your team, then you got to be aggressive to go get him if you want him. The last thing you want to do is be sitting on your hands and watching somebody else go get a guy that you like.
So you've been doing this general manager thing. Your counterpart, Steve Keim, yesterday made this statement that still resonates with a lot of people. They've got the first pick of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that pick ends up being a quarterback, whether he deserves to be there or not. So he says they've got their guy for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So does that, to you, as a poker player,
yeah,
what's that tell you about the Cardinals? They've got a – does that kind of throws their front door open for business, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hear the words, but, you know, if what you're saying sounds like, you know, they're saying right now, then maybe that doesn't mean in 2 months from now. I don't
right.
know. I don't pretend to know. I haven't seen Steve, but I'll ask him about it when I run into him and see what he says. But, yeah, I mean, listen, maybe they're playing poker too. Maybe they want to make people think that they're going to draft a quarterback so that somebody comes up and gives them a whole haul of picks.
Right.
So, you know, a lot can be read into that, and that maybe that's exactly what Steve wanted to say.
Yeah, right. We're with Bills general manager Brandon Bean here at the Combine. You're putting in long days. How much of your time is spent on meetings with agents? And who are these agents? Are they for your current guys or?
Both.
Both?
Yep. So you're always talking to teams, but you're generally, agents are here. This is a thing for everybody. So you run into, you have a coffee, whatever. And sometimes there's agents that are here that are representing players that are getting drafted, and you talk about who they've got, and because what happens is some of these guys you want to get on privates and pro days, so you want to try and if it's a hot name, you got certain days that fits your schedule. Hey, can we this pro day's on March the 15th? Can we get them on March the 18th and do that? So, but we'll obviously talk to agents that our guys have that maybe we're still trying to extend. And so forth, but it's good to see him. There's a lot of good guys, and we have our contingent of Jim Overdorf and Kevin Megang, and they're here. And maybe, who knows, maybe we walk out of here and have one of our guys extended.
Well, let's talk about some of your guys. And let me start with the guy you were asked about this morning, Jordan Phillips, who it seemed with the retirement of Kyle Williams, he might have a bigger role to play. That's got to be a factor in any conversation you would have with him or his agent right now, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, Jordan has started some in this league. He's backed up. He was a second-round pick. He's a talented young man. For certain reasons, everything hasn't played out perfectly for him. That's why he was available. I thought he brought a great energy to our team, especially at home. He brought an energy and an edge, and that's what that's kind of one thing that I told him. I said, hey, if I was being critical of you, I would say, hey, just add a little bit more of that on the road.
Yeah.
And not that he wasn't, but I really felt him at home a little bit more. And one thing he said, I love playing in this stadium. I love our fans. And I said, I told you, you're going to love this place like a college. And he said, that's a good point. He took it, and he's like, I just love playing in our stadium and our fans. And he's a neat kid. We'd love to get him back, but he's a free agent. He's earned that right, and he's got to make a business decision, and we have a value we put on him, and his agent has a value they put on him. So we'll see what happens.
Could he be an answer at that position, though?
He is talented.
Yeah.
He can rush the passer. He can play the run. He can do different things. I mean, he's a big kid. He's got athletic ability. Again, I know exactly why he was drafted in the second round. I was in Carolina when that was going on, but we had good grades on Jordan as well.
You know, it's all a big balance, and everybody said is so excited about all the money that you guys have to spend in the cap, and you kind of positioned yourself over the last 18 months to get there. You're here, but all of a sudden, then you got, you know what? We got some guys that we have that we don't want to be free agents. You know, there's like 15. Oranges that you got to keep in the air all the time. You're trying to juggle the balance between which guys to keep, which guys to extend, and which guys to kind of say, hey, thanks, it's been great, but we're going to go in a different direction. Plus, go out and shop.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. I mean, you've got a lot of irons in the fire right now, and this is the time of year, and this is just one more of them, this being at the Combine. What's the next step, tangible step you guys need to take to move forward in the process of this offseason?
Well, I think it is. We've gone through our free agency meetings. We've had two rounds of draft meetings. So we see where the value is on the boards, where we can, if we don't get this position in free agency, we'll have opportunities in our mind throughout the draft to add guys. So that's part of your planning. If it's a thin position, you go, man, we probably better take a good shot at it in free agency within reason. But if it's not, you can say, hey, let's try in free agency, but hopefully – we think in the mid rounds we could really get a guy of value to add. So we've done all that. Unfortunately, free agency is very fluid, so you can put your target. We got our A targets, our B targets, our C targets. We've got price values that we think they fit in the comps around the league. But again, all it takes is one team.
Right.
And you can put a guy and you think he fits in the $8 to $9 million year, and one team pays him 12. Well, that would be stupid for me if I did my due diligence on him before that other team paid him 12, and I said, well, I'll pay you 12 and a half to get you. That's how you get yourself where this team was, quite candidly. And to your point, we have guys that we're trying to grow and build our culture and build our thing. The last thing I want to do is let a good player that we've spent all this time developing walk out of the building on his own terms because he didn't want to be there or we didn't have the money.
Right.
And so we have to be smart, judicious, whatever word I've used since the season's over, with our spending. And we do have to add pieces. We understand there are holes, but we also have to plan one eye today and one eye tomorrow. I can't spend it all, and then these draft classes the last 2 years come up, and we're in cap hell, and we can't sign them.
On the topic of free agency and your offensive line in particular, you've got three guys who on the roster for the last couple of years, Mills, Miller, and Groy, who are hitting free agency. Is there interest there in bringing him back? And I wonder, are you eager to see maybe what Bobby Johnson might be able to provide for that group or some of that group? Where are you with those three?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely talking to those guys. You know, Jordan and John have the same agent, so that's easy.
Okay.
Package deal. So we'll definitely meet with their representative here and Ryan's as well. And listen, it's, again, these guys have hit free agency. They've earned the right to find out what their market is, and they're not going to – I understand it. They've waited this long. They don't want to sign something that they think, and maybe they don't agree with our value either. That's any position, not necessarily these guys. So that's coming up, you know, March 13th. All these things will start getting answered and fall into place. But if these guys – if we bring them back, great. If not, we'll wish them the best. These are three good young men as people, and every one of them gave everything they had, whether they were starting or whether they were the backup. And so I have nothing but great things to say about all three.
With General Manager Brandon Bean, now let's get to the topic here for the most part, which is the draft picks, the prospects that you're seeing. Overall, can you – not only ask for a grade, but maybe a sense of what kind of a draft class this is in 2019, where what positions are strong, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, it was – at my presser, I was talking, you know, I don't want to run through them all, but, I think there is some tight end depth. I think there's some D-line depth. But I think there's depth throughout. I think it's right now, without hearing the medical, and I still haven't met some guys, but I think there's more depth in the whole draft than I would say there was a year ago in what I saw. I think there's going to – you're going to find some players a little deeper in the draft, potentially. But, again, it's February. Things change. I've been some years where we thought it was – we had a lot of guys on our board, and the medical grades come back, and some guys are Ds and Fs, and the docs are worried that they're going to last 3 years. So you start going, man, I had that guy in the second round, and we're worried if he's going to last 3 years. I can't spend a second, third-round pick on that.
You know, at your presser also came up today about receivers perceived by many to be an area of need. There's a really good point you made about rookies. Marv used to say this all the time. It takes – rookie wide receivers take a year or two to get ready to play.
Yeah.
That might even be more so now with the way the college football is played. You talked about that, how important the interviews are here for the receivers to see what they know and what they can learn, right?
Most definitely. You know, with the spread offense and all the signaling to the sidelines, and you know, you got a coach for the skills or a coach. Some guys have one coach for one player telling them exactly what to do, and some guys only line up on the left side, every play. It doesn't matter if it's 4th and 1, 1st and 10, if they're backed up, if they're going in. And so now we have to decipher, is he only on that spot because that's all he can learn, or is he on that spot because that's the way the coach designed the offense just to make it as easy as possible? There was a receiver coming out of school. This guy has been 4 or 5 years ago coming out, and same thing. This guy always lined up on their sideline. So in the first quarter, he's playing on the left. The second quarter, he's playing on the right. And I was, you know, it was a lot of telltale. And met the kid, and you find out the kid was a great kid, but he struggled to learn. And so I think they had him close to the sideline to quickly, you know, maybe somebody was telling him coverage. You know, I don't know what happened, but we had learned concerns on him, and it kind of answered itself. The film, that was odd. And then as we met with the young man, you found out, you know, learning was a little bit of an issue for him.
On receivers, and Bills fans, NFL fans can watch these receivers and quarterbacks Saturday on TV. What would you tell fans to look for when they're watching receivers on TV Saturday? What traits, what abilities should they be looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking for the guys that who's the team going to when they need a big play? It's third down.
I'm talking about combine workouts now, too.
I thought you were talking about in season.
Combine workouts Saturday.
You. You know, obviously you're going to look at speed.
Right.
Okay. How clean does a guy catch the ball? You know, we're watching some guys, you know, they catch it here. Some guys like to cradle it. They don't want to. And that's hard in our league if the easy ones, you know, there is a time when you got to do it. You're doing that comeback, and you know, it's the ball's going to come right into your chest and do that. But the guys that are, you know, they don't trust those hands, that's going to probably catch up to them a little bit. Now, the guys that can get away with it are the ones that can super fly,
right,
and they can at least track it well enough. That's still a weapon to, you know, to have. But you're looking at all those measures, the vertical, you know, those guys that are the leapers, that vertical jump's big, you know, when you throw those fade balls. That's a huge weapon. You get down in the red zone and you can throw it up and you can know your guy is going to get it above the rim.
Do you? So you said that there's a lot of depth across the board in this draft. Talk a little bit about the big guys up front. There's some offensive linemen, tackles, guards. You know, you've got to weigh the value of how good you think those guys can play against the guys you have and what you're going to have to pay them to extend them, that kind of thing. Talk about this draft class and the guys down inside guards, centers, that kind of guy.
Yeah, I do think there's some guys, and I think there are some guys that we've even talked to that have position flex. The best offensive linemen are the ones that can play multiple spots, either center guard or guard tackle. Those one-hole guys, you can't have too many of those, or you're going to get yourself in trouble on game day. We like to go with seven active, you know, a guy that can play guard tackle and a guy that can play center guard. If you got one that's center only, it gets tough, you know, to do that. So we do think there's some guys in this draft. Again, you know, I think there's some decent depth there. I'm not going to say there's, you know, elite players, you know, at the top, but I do think there's some depth. And there, again, there's some different flavors. There's some road graders, guys, and then there's some guys that are very athletic that can move with some of these fast DNs that you got to have to, you know, to keep the, you know, the Von Millers and so right off your quarterback.
You jumped on Spencer Long within days of his release by the Jets. What did you like about him?
You know, Spencer, so it's funny, when he got released, I called Jeremiah Cyrils, and Jeremiah and I had a conversation when he left town. I asked him where he was going, what he was doing. He's going back to Nebraska, and he was telling me who all he was working out with and who comes, and he mentioned Spencer.
I think Spencer lives with him.
And he lives in his basement.
Yeah.
He's going to get kicked out, though,
the baby's coming.
When the baby comes, what he told me. But so we had that conversation, but in my mind, Spencer was with the Jets, so I just kind of – and so I texted Jeremiah. I said, hey, I just saw the Jets release Spencer. Anything up, anything you know about? And he didn't know. He said, I worked out with him this morning. I hadn't seen him.
Huh.
So checked in with him and said, hey – we would have interest. You know, we were interested in Spencer when he hit free agency last year. The Jets paid him, you know, a nice deal. And, you know, we had our cap constraints. But he has a lot of starts in the league. He didn't come in as a center. He kind of learns his way as a center. We view Spencer as a pro's pro, fits our culture, a tough guy who can play center, can play guard. And he'll come in and compete. We're not, you know, we don't do this. We just don't believe in saying this guy is, you know, he's slated to start here. We're going to add pieces and competition to our O-line and let the dust settle, you know, how it may. But we were excited to get Spencer, and we structured his deal, so to speak. If he's starting, he'll get paid a little bit more. If he's backed up, then he'll get a little bit less.
You got time for just a couple more? I want to ask you about – you didn't answer. I'm going to ask you. You got to go?
No, I'm good.
We talked about this on the show yesterday, Steve and I. An underrated aspect of Josh Allen's second year is the fact that he doesn't have to share reps anymore. When you come April 15th, when the players show up for off-season workouts,
yep,
he'll be the guy. I mean, he'll get most of the reps, I would think, right?
It's huge. You know, we were in the situation that we were last year. A lot our doing and our planning to try and find a franchise guy. But, you know, we didn't know who we would be able to draft when we went into free agency. And we had, you know, Nathan on the roster and AJ. We signed in free agency. So we just felt like, let's don't rush the rookie. And so Josh was getting mostly the threes. And, you know, while that was good for his growth, keeping him at, you know, the right pace, the negative was he missed out on a lot of reps.
Yeah.
Not only reps in general, but reps with those starters. Then when he started playing, he wasn't playing a lot with that first group, the Charles Clays, the Kelvin Benjamins, the Zay Jones. So he didn't have the rapport. I think that's part of the reason it clicked so well with Robert. You know, he and Robert had probably thrown together – more than anybody,
yeah,
and of who was remaining on the roster. So it'll be great. I know it'll be, you know, relieving for Josh to know he's coming in as the one, and we don't have to play the, well, I don't know when you're going to start and all that, you know, that
right
game.
Yeah. And one more for you. You hired Dennis Locke,
yeah,
football research director.
Mm-hmm.
What's his role going to be? What are you going to have him do?
So Dennis was in Miami. I was aware of him. Dennis Hickey had hired him, and Joe Shane had worked with him even after Dennis had left Miami. And so those two had mentioned him as we started our analytics build here. We kind of, just started from ground up. And so he became available with the transition changes that Miami, they didn't get rid of him, but we pounced. We kind of let them have Marvin Allen for that role. And, and so we reached out and said, hey, we got a guy that we would like to increase his role here. And he did some things with coaching. So right now he'll spend his spring more doing some personnel things for us, and then he'll probably spend, I'd say it's going to be 75-25 in the spring personnel and flipped, 75-25 coaching, just game planning, helping with all the stuff. You know, he'll be looking at running numbers and what teams are doing and tendencies and things like that, just another added analytical element to what we see on tape.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.